We were in Wilmington, Delaware, Friday, soul winning, evangelizing, and we were walking the streets and saying, Lord, give us a Greater Grace Church in Wilmington, Delaware. And then you ask yourself, do I believe that? And then what do you answer? I start singing, Lord, I believe. Okay, so I believe, isn't it? Is that how we live? Now, there are a lot of reasons why we would not have a church in Wilmington, Delaware, right? But Lord, maybe you don't sing like that. I don't, but I believe, right? I believe. That's how it goes. All right, we're going to have a good message here today. The way it'll work is I'm going to ask you to stand. Let's do that first. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 29. You're going to help me in the beginning. Proverbs 29, verse 11. Read it with me, please. Proverbs 29:11. After the service, there's a turkey dinner for everybody. You're all welcome right down the sidewalk. Just follow the group down and then go in and you'll be able to eat a turkey dinner. Wow. Thanksgiving is this Thursday. On Friday, the next day, I fly to Turkey, actually. There are two meanings of that word. One is the bird, the other the country. So we have a conference in Istanbul, Turkey, and we appreciate your prayers for that. That'll be people from the area and Europe and Central Asia coming for 1 week conference and just sharing and preaching and listening and praying and loving. So we are part of a world outreach. By God's grace. Read the verse with me, chapter 29 and verse 11. 1, 2, 3. A fool utters all his mind, but a wise man keeps it in till afterwards. One more time, even slower. Watch, read it one more time, verse 11. A fool utters all his mind. Now, this is a part I want you to help me with. I want you to turn to your neighbor and explain to them. And one of you have to listen, the other one does the talking. And then, what does it mean that you utter all your mind? Okay, then the second part of the verse. All right, thank you. I think that was helpful. I think that was helpful. So verse 11, but a wise man keeps it in till afterwards. But a wise man has something that he's received that is from God. The wisdom that is from God descends. In James chapter 3, there is the earthly wisdom that is from below, then the wisdom that comes from God in James chapter 3. I think we better take a quick look at that. Turn to James then I'll have you seated. Chapter 3, James 3, verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Wisdom that is from above. There is the wisdom from below, and that is the verse 15. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. All right, you may be seated. Now, we will teach this, but I'd like you to go now to Psalm 119. And I'd like you to see the foundation of the house. You know the diagram we have drawn with the house. And then, very important that the foundation of the house would be deeper than our experience. We could say the house is our experience and more, actually, our mind, our spiritual life. We'll draw that in a second. And then the deeper the foundation is Psalm 119 in essence. So we could look at verse 17 of Psalm 119, and you see repeated through the psalmist is saying, I am after God, I'm after his word, I am building on the word, I am after the commandments. Read 17, deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. What is the word but the Bible that you're holding in your hands? Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not your commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it has unto your judgments at all times, hungering for the judgments of God, the law of God, the word of God. Verse 24, your testimonies are my delight and my counselors. My soul, verse 25, cleaves unto the dust. Quicken me according to thy word. Now, this is what we want to say. The believer has to have the foundation for his life that is derived from above. It has to come from above. This has to be our new birth, our spiritual life, Christ's mind. This is the gift of God given to us, where we have deep in our heart, in our spirit. There are two words that we should know, spirit and then heart, that are very powerful in our new life. They are in Ezekiel 36, 26. God gives us a new spirit and a new heart. This is why the wise man is able to keep it in until afterwards, because of the content that he has received. And we want to give you two or three examples today of how this happened in the life of Joseph, who was married to Mary in the beginning. We'll look at that in a second. We'll look at the life of Samson and how he told all that was in his heart to Delilah. The life of Joseph, who told his brothers about a dream. And then the life of Christ, which resulted in his death. The reason he was crucified was because he had something in his heart that was from God, because Christ was God. As we know, he was incarnated as God, but he walked as a man. And as a man, God imparted to him the reality of God's spirit and God's mind. We'll look at that today. I wanted to share a funny thing with you before we get going here. Pastor Monty talked in one of his sermons, I think it was in Budapest, about the difference between a catitude and a dogitude. He said, with a dog, you feed the dog, you care for the dog, you groom the dog, you love the dog, and the dog says, you are so great, you must be God. The dog has a dogitude. You are God. With a cat, you feed the cat, you groom the cat, you take care of the cat, and the cat thinks, I must be God. How many of you have dogs? How many have cats? Okay. The point is, I think, and I don't care whether you have a dog or cat, but attitude, what's deep in us, what we think, how we process life. Do we have a foundation that is bigger than our experience? Like this cellar here in the house is really where your life is shaken. What you really believe, what you really think about, how you're building your life, and also what you talk about. Because what we say has a lot to do with our hearts. Christ said that the mouth, it's not what goes in the mouth that is the problem. In Jewish law, it was dietary law, and it was, you know, no shrimp or lobster goes in the mouth of a Jew. But Christ said, no, it's not what goes in your mouth that makes you dirty. It's what comes out of your heart. Do you have a cellar? Where is the cellar coming from? What is the foundation of your life? This is critical and important. Last 2 weeks, we have spoken about Jeremiah 17. I have to say, God has spoken to our hearts about that portion and how awesome it is when we trust in God. This house is built on God. Psalm 119, we could say, is the cellar of this house. Because he's always talking about the Word. He's always reaching out and saying, it's bigger than me. I want to know your judgments. I think the average person walking the streets of Baltimore is not saying in their prayer life, God, show me your judgments. I don't want to know about Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't want to see the judgment of Christ on the cross. I don't want to know what's wrong with me. But actually, when you know God, you walk with God in your heart, you're saying, I want to know what you love and also what you hate. I want to know what is right and also what is wrong. I want to have something deeper in my life. Now turn to Matthew 1, please. It's an interesting story. We are coming toward Christmas season, and we have a series of Christmas messages starting after Thanksgiving. And in our church here, we love to celebrate the incarnation. We love to think about why God became a man. We love to talk about it and invite our neighbors and come and enjoy. On one of the nights towards Christmas, we buy a little gift, a $5 gift or $2 gift, something small, and bring it to the church, and then you give it to anybody you want to in the church, so we have a celebration at Christmas that way. I personally love Christmas, and I think a lot about it. This is a Christmas story right here, Matthew 1 and verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Mary is pregnant. She shouldn't be. Mary is pregnant. How did that happen? How did her boyfriend digest the whole idea of my girlfriend who I betrothed, who is going to become my wife? How could she be pregnant? Well, you can imagine where your mind goes in that story if you were Joseph. We could draw a diagram this way. Here's Joseph, and then there's something deep in Joseph. We can say, to make it simple and clear, he has a capacity for God. He has the Spirit. He has a spirit, and undoubtedly he has a fear of God, and he's one of the chosen. And he hears about Mary. And I think a lot of talking happens, not so much from there, but more from the surface. When I ask you to ask your neighbor what it means to say all that is in your mind. I don't know what your neighbor said to you this morning, but over here they said, when I talk out of my emotions, when I talk about my feelings, my hurts, my wounds, my experiences, right on the edge of my tongue are a lot of words. And it says, the fool utters all his mind. Reminds me of Facebook. What I feel, what I think, no guard, no restraint, just what I think about you or think about an issue, talking. Look at the Proverb 29:11. I'll turn and read it to you. You already did it, but I want to reemphasize it. 29, a fool utters all his mind. Everything. Spontaneously. Whatever surfaces, whatever bubbles up, whatever comes to my mind, and on the spot. Whatever I want, whatever I feel, whatever I want to say, right on the spot, I say all my mind. There are no filters. I say what I want, when I want to say it, how much I want to talk about it, and I just say it. There are emotions in people. There is bitter envying and strife in your hearts, James 3:14. Laying aside all malice, all guile, all hypocrisies, all envies, and all evil speakings. You ever kind of cuddled up to somebody, nestled up to them, and just unloaded all the trash and garbage that comes from the surface of your life, in my life? Well, let's put Joseph in this picture. Joseph's girlfriend is pregnant. You know, we could interview Joseph. Joseph, your girlfriend's pregnant. You know what I think? I can't even believe that. What a jewel. Do you think so? You think he could have done that? Of course he could. Could Joseph have gone on Facebook? Could he could have given her a good beating with his tongue? Could he could have nailed her to the wall? He could have crucified her. He could have nailed, shamed her. He could have done it all. And I would like to say that this message is a good one for every one of us, because there's something more that we need to be looking for. And it is not our emotional reaction, and is not all our minds. Don't tell all your mind to your children. Oh, I got a little piece. I wonder if I photocopied it. Oh, it's a sweet little story. I think I got it. Nope. Did I do it? No. Come on. Nope. Oh, nope. By memory. Yeah. It's not going to be working so well, but this man, older man, retired with his wife, and she wanted to travel, and she's like provoking him and just saying, let's travel and do things. They're both retired there at the end. I mean, they're not that old, but then he goes, don't you know that all I want is just to be in the same room with you? I wish I had read it. It touched my heart, that little story. You know, I say regarding this story, look up at the screen, a wise man does not speak on the surface of things. He's saying, great peace have they that love your word, nothing will offend them. He's finding the reality of love, the reality of life, the reality of Christ. He's able to say to his wife, relax, we don't have to go anywhere. All I have to do is just sit in the same room with you. That's how much I love you. That kind of content is what we're all looking for. And look at the story with Joseph. He was minded to put her away privily, meaning not to make a big deal out of it, protect her. His inclination was to be a covering for her. And then in verse 20, but while he thought on these things, you know, you could put in there your story. My son in prison. My daughter on drugs. My wife has broken my heart. My job, my boss hates me. I lost my house, but not only one house, I've lost two houses. I'm a hurting person. We can all talk on the surface about these things. But Joseph, while he thought on them, look at what happened. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. That's it. That's what I need. I need God to tell me what's going on. I say to God, my girlfriend is pregnant. God chose me in a dream. There you go. That's what I need. I say, Lord, my boss is nuts. I mean, he's egomaniac, narcissistic, enemy of mine. He doesn't like me at all. He's a dangerous man, Lord. Lord says, I know, I know. And this is where you have to speak from here or find. It says, the wise man keeps it in until after. This is what happened to Joseph. He had a dream. God told him what's going on. He said, Joseph, you son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save the temple, the people from their sins. What do you think he felt like after he got that? Woo-hoo-hoo! Nobody knows. I don't have to explain it to anybody. Doesn't matter what people say or think. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! I got it. My wife is impregnated by the Holy Spirit. I don't understand that, but the angel told me I don't get it. I don't understand it in one way, but in another way, I don't have to do much talking about it because I got the answer. I have something that came from God. That's the meaning of Psalm 119. An angel may not appear to me, but I've got the word, and it quickens me. Eight times it says, quicken me according to your word. I get words. I get words. There's church trouble. I get words. There's family trouble. I get words. The fool tells all that is in his mind. That yapping all the time. But a wise man, he can kind of see. And he gets the deeper thing. He understands. Hey, Joseph, your wife is pregnant. You're not even married yet. Joseph is quiet. I'll tell you after a couple years, if you really want to know. If I was to tell you now, you may not believe me. But that's okay because you don't have to believe me. I know what I heard. I know what is going on. I received from God something, and what God has given, it cannot be taken away from me. Behold, open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. There it is. You see that? Pastor Stevens taught us years ago to have commitments. And I have a paper where he preached and taught in the classes the following things. And I think it relates to what we're saying here today. I will never quit following and obeying God, number one. Have you made that commitment? I will never, because I know that this exists. I know that God is faithful. I know that God speaks to us. I know that there is a deeper part of you and I that is the guidance of God and the Spirit of God that is faithful to us in all of our trouble. He said, I will be bearing fruit until the day I die. I'm committed. I'll never be untrue to my friends. I'll never listen to an evil report about another brother. I will only deal with them in the table of organization that they are under. I will always preach the whole counsel of God. I'll never stop soul winning because I believe that in my heart that God has sent us into this world so that we would be able to share from the Spirit what God is saying to the human race. And when they listen, that seed is planted in their heart and it bears fruit. And that is why we went to Wilmington, Delaware the other day and plan to go every Friday, a group of us, and sow the seed and invest there and see what God does. He said, I'll serve God even if he takes everything from me, even my friends. You know, there can be something dangerous about talking from the reality that Christ gives to you as a person. And you see this with Joseph in the story with his brothers. Joseph had a dream. He said, all of you, my brothers, are going to bow down and worship me. Well, wasn't the best message his brothers could hear. They basically said, not going to happen. We'll get rid of you. we're not going to bow down and worship you. Well, the same thing happened to Christ when Christ was here. When Christ told the truth, didn't go for well for him either. And it also happens to us. In the day and age of ISIS, another radical anti-Christian movements and idea thoughts in the spirit of the world that is against what it is that we are saying and we are believing. But when you get it in your heart, you cannot stop but share it wisely, lovingly, purposefully, intentionally. We believe it. This is keeping it in. Keeping it in. Having it in you. Having it in you. You have it in you. That's why we come to the church. Pastor also said, I made a commitment to study the Word of God diligently. To turn myself over to study. I made a commitment not to get offended by the truth. That's a good commitment. In a day and age, when people get offended, they quit. They get offended, they say, I'm out of here. In a marriage, people make promises, and the minute it goes bad, they say, I'm done, I'm finished. In a day and age when the church has got a responsibility to communicate the truth, then I must endure it, I must take it, even if it offends me. I'm going to be here because God put me here. He fitly framed us together. And I make a commitment to here, to be here, and to be patient and see God work it out. Just like Joseph could have jumped and said, you know, my girlfriend, I'm done. I'm finished. My girlfriend is pregnant. I can't believe that. That could never happen. I'm done. I'm finished. I'm out of here. But instead, God showed him. That's what I need. This is my church. God must show me. This is my place. God must show me. This is my Bible. God must show me. This is where God has put me. God must show me. This is the mission that God has called us into. God must show me. You are my brother and my sister, whether I like it or not. God must show me. I don't pick my friends. God picks my friends. I used to, before I was saved, I picked my friends. But today I have my sisters and brothers, and they stick closer than a friend. They stick closer than a brother. They are a friend. You know, your brother has to be your brother. You have no choice. But your friend, that's different. God gave Jonathan and David a relationship where they were together. And it was from God, the content in their life. But there's another diagram, too. And it is Samson and Delilah. This will be a great story. Here's Samson, and here's Delilah. Let's make a picture. She's got a skirt on. She's got hair. She's got an earring there. And she is quite a looker. She's a good looker. Woohoo! Man, she's a good looker. Her name is Delilah. Okay? She's a Philistine, and she wants to know, how does Samson get his strength? Samson had long hair, because he was a Nazarite. He had a Nazarite vow. He didn't have any wine, he didn't drink any grape juice, he had long hair, he was committed, his parents committed him to God. But he had a problem on the surface in his sin nature. He liked women. Sin nature. I think we should all like, if you're a man, we should all like women. Say that to your neighbor. Second thought, don't say it to your neighbor. Men like women, women like men. Hallelujah, what a blessing. Turn to Judges with me. Delilah, Samson. Delilah was used as an agent for the Philistines to find out why he has so much power and strength. His strength is in his long hair, his dedication to God. But he also has a sin nature. He's attracted to these women that he should not be attracted to. Yeah, this is the second woman in the story. Her name is Delilah. She says, "Tell me, where is your strength coming from?" He lies to her. Chapter 16, 6, 7. They tried to take him, the Philistines. He's still strong. Again, she says, where is your strength coming from? He lies to her. Then verse 15, she said unto him, "How can you say I love you when your heart is not with me?" How many times has that sentence been said in human history? How can you say you love me if you won't sleep with me? How can you say you love me if your heart is not with me? How can you say? Okay? Come on. Come on. Is your life deeper than that? Do you have Christ in your heart? Is Christ's word is what you delight in? Or are you easy? You are easy. You are an easy person because you don't have the content. The spirit filling, the wisdom, right? Verse 16, as it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, his vexed soul was vexed unto death. He was so tired of it. He was so pressed. Why didn't he get out of the relationship? Why didn't he say to Delilah, "You hit the road. I'm hitting the road. You go that way, I go that way." Why didn't he say, "This is over"? Why didn't he say, "It can't happen. I'm out of here"? Why couldn't he have done that? Because he didn't have the content we're talking about operating in his heart. He lapsed. He is a carnal Christian. He is a believer, and he has the potential because he has the anointing and the strength. But as he's living in a practical way in the temptation of the time and the hour, you don't see the fortitude and the power. But in verse 17, he told her all that was in his heart. He told her all that was in. What did the proverb say? The fool tells all that is in his mind. What did the proverb say? The fool is doing all the talking and cannot keep it in until afterwards. What does that mean? Keep it in until. Means I don't have to say it. I don't have to defend myself. I don't have to be way get down in the mud and start slinging mud one person to the next verbally. I don't need to be fighting it out on that level. I don't need to be there talking like that. I got something from God that is in my heart that gives me great peace. I have great peace, have they that love your word. This is a foundation that cannot be shaken. Amen. And it is the very thing that Satan doesn't want you to have any foundation in your life. He wants you to just go with it, talking. many times foolishly. So he told her, if you cut my hair, I'll lose my strength. She said basically, with his head on her lap, thank you very much. Take a sleep now. You can rest. It's fine. I'm your friend. I love you. The Philistines show up with some shears. Clip, clip. His life is changed. Well, it's thought-provoking. How many times what we need here is another person who has the same content. And we say these things to each other. And we love, believe, know, and have fellowship. We encourage each other. We have found something that has made our life different. That's why in this list of commitments that Pastor gave to us, and he said, write them in your Bibles. I made a commitment to not to change what I believe in the Bible, never to change our doctrine, but to grow in the quality of it. I made a commitment never to mistrust people, despite the fact that people fail, but to love them again and forgive them again. I made a commitment to go to 3 services a week. And I, sisters and brothers, I believe that because I became a faithful churchgoer and I attended churches often, and it was 3 times a week and actually more sometimes, it transformed my life. And I believe that new believers need to make a shift and start to think that church life is rich because of the content that is there. Then I make a shift and I realize you are my new friends, that this is my new family, that this is our new home, that this is our new mission. I may never go myself to the mission field, but I am part of a mission to reach Wilmington, Delaware, and the city of Baltimore with people like you and like me. So when we have a little trouble at home, the wise man is able to say, honey, don't you know all I do? All I just want to be with you in the same room. We don't have to go to any fancy hotel. We can sit in our house. And if I can be with you quietly, maybe with patience and peace deep in my heart, that's what I want. And to love you this way, for us to have Christ in our lives. Yes, Mary is pregnant. I am disappointed. I am disappointed. I am her boyfriend. Yes, she is pregnant. What is going on? How could that be? Quiet. Don't speak all your mind. Don't go on Facebook and give all the garbage in your opinions and anger and jealousies and judgments on people. Never judge the church. Do not judge your brother, your sister. Be very careful. This is sacred because that woman is innocent. And God needs to show you something deeper than your emotion and your feeling. And you need to get it from God. What does God say about that precious woman? And he said, do not, take her. She is a woman of honor. And you are to be her husband and you are to take care of her, for the Messiah is dwelling in her. What a story. I think I would have gotten it wrong unless God had showed me. I think I could get you wrong unless God shows me. I think I could get my wife, as precious as she is, and my children and many other things I could get wrong unless God would open up to me and speak to my heart by the Holy Spirit and show me what is really important, what is really happening, What is the most important thing? Because God has a word for you. He will help you. In a crowd this size and on the internet, there are men and women secretly in various bad habits. Okay, you've got some bad habits in your life. Let me say to you very clearly, Christ is bigger than your bad habit. He can root it out and pluck it up by the roots and cast it into the sea. Your bad habits can be dissolved in a second by the nature and the mind and the Spirit of God. God changes us from glory to glory. Embrace it, believe it, build your house on that foundation, and when your life is shaken, and it will be shaken in time, you'll not be destroyed. You'll not be removed. You go back to these commitments and say, thank you, Lord. I remain here. I am seeking that which is above. I'm on your side, even in the craziness. And I hate the craziness, but you are bigger than it all. You are with me in it all. And yea, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Amen. That clap is for the Lord, as many of you know. Maybe someone here doesn't know that. I am nothing, you know that. We don't need to say it. We are just so thankful, Lord, that we have this treasure in us and we fellowship in it. We proclaim it. We think about it. We seek it. We need it. We embrace it. Pour it out upon everyone here. Show them, every one of us, the way. And may we build our house, Lord, in the right way, in Christ's name. If you're here and you don't have Jesus Christ, then you're lost. Without Christ, you're lost. We are not happy about that. That's why we're here saying it. We're not happy about that. We have been lost also. And then we heard a message and we got it. Christ said, we said yes to Christ. He doesn't hate you. He loves you. He's not against you. He's for you. He is a living God. You need him. Now more than you need anything, more than anything you could ever imagine, you need him. Oh, you need him. Say yes to Christ. Don't get offended by him. Respond by faith to him. Love him. Receive him. He loves you. He loves you. He will forgive you, wash you, save you, regenerate you, bless you. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you today. I trust you. Raise your hand, please, if you're saying that prayer. Yes to Jesus, anyone? Yes to Christ, please. The church is praying. We pray through the week for these things, Lord. Bring people in that they would believe and trust you. Anyone? Raise your hand. Anyone at all? Thank you. God bless you. Beautiful. Thank you. God bless you. Raise your hand. Anyone? Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we are. Take a minute. Think about that message. Could you have, I don't know if it's, I think you could just take 1 minute. Do you have something in your heart that you could put in your mouth that you heard or you believe about the message? One sentence, one thing you heard or you believe. Okay, and just say it to your neighbor before we close. We're going to close now. But there was something you heard, just one word, and just say it to your neighbor. Just to keep it in our mind. Okay, so would you stand with me, please? We're going to pray for the food at the Thanksgiving potluck, which is just go right out the door as you please. Take your time, go out the door, go down the sidewalk, and you're welcome to join us for our Thanksgiving dinner. Lord, we thank you for these thoughts, for this congregation, and for your guidance in our lives. Thank you. Lead us, help us, our families, our possessions, our habits of life, our commitments to you. In Christ's name, bless our fellowship. Bless our week. Bless tonight, our service tonight here, and everyone here is welcome, everyone, to come back for part two of this message. That'll be tonight. In Christ's name, amen. You are dismissed.